Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 408. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I am here with Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And Travis Baum.
What up?
And today, we're going to do a shorter show, just distractions and news, I believe. Maybe we'll do a pick of the week at the end. But before we get into all that, you know, we have to go around the table and see what's going on. So, Jeff.
Hey.
Jeff just had a vacation.
I did.
Tell me what's going on, Jeff.
Fun.
It looked like fun, man. I went to
Costa Rica with me and Tanya for a week. My parents rented a condo there for like 3 months. So we're like, hey, let's go visit them because we don't have to pay for like a hotel or anything. And, it'd be cool to hang out for like a week and some nice ass weather. And it was cool. Their setup was nice. It was like a condo, like 3-story buildings, whatever, but it was kind of set up like a resort. They had like 3 huge pools and stuff and like a bar and stuff like that. It wasn't all inclusive, obviously, because it wasn't a resort, but it was a lot of fun, man. We just kind of, you know, it was relaxing, but we also did a lot. We did a lot of walking around. We went ATVing to the jungle, which is pretty fucking awesome. That's probably like the highlight, I think, for me.
I saw some pictures of that you posted on Facebook. That looked fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And I'm glad you guys did that. Whenever anyone ever says, hey, I'm going on a cruise or I'm going on some sort of out of the country trip, something tropical or Caribbean, I always say no matter what you do, whether you're taking a cruise or you're just flying in directly, always take advantage of the local excursions while you're docked in land, because it's just some of the most amazing experiences. And once anybody can go on a cruise. You shell out the money, you can enjoy the cruise and eat and dance and party.
Just stay on the boat or whatever.
Exactly. But I can't
go to the ports.
I can't subscribe to the idea of not going to visit these amazing places that some people.
Neither can I.
Yeah, I just can't. So you guys did
it right.
You have
to get out
and
see it.
Yeah, I agree. When you guys went on the ATVs and I saw the pictures, I was like, good for you guys. You're like, you're doing it right. You know how to vacation.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's nice.
And also where the condo was, it was right in like this town called Playa de Coco. And it's like, we went out a lot just walking down the main strip there, going to the restaurants and like the bars and stuff. People are really nice. It's definitely not like going to Mexico or the place like Punta Cana, because Costa Rica is obviously doing pretty well in regards to the people. It's not like a super poor country. So it's, they have a little bit of a different attitude, I guess. They're not like, you've been on vacation before, you go on the beach or something and people come up to you and try to sell you shit and they will just hound you forever. Like, they don't take no for an answer. They have those kind of things here, there, but you just say no, thank you. And that's it. They just leave you alone. And, you know, didn't see anyone like begging for change or anything like that. And not that that's like a bad thing, but sometimes when you go off the resort in certain areas, it can become a little bit of a hassle because you don't know what's a scam, what's not a scam. So it's kind of like, ugh. But yeah, no, it was cool. I mean, it was a little bit, I wouldn't say pricey because everything was in pretty much US dollars or the colones, I think it is, or that's what they have there, colones. And it was all in American and American type prices. So it wasn't cheap like going to like Punta Cana or like Mexico or when you're buying stuff, because everything was like, hey, you want to go for like dinner? Tanya and I would still be spending about $50, $40 to $50, depending on where we went. But mind you, that did include usually a couple drinks, so I guess it's still a little bit cheaper than here or down where you guys are. But yeah, we made the best of it. We ate in a few times to save money, like at my parents' house. We had made tacos one night and had some chicken and stuff. And I had
It's a good way to do it, man. When you go on a vacation like that, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I totally recommend it to like anyone. It's cool. And like what Travis says, get out and do something. Like a lot of people think excursions, like my dad's not really big on excursions. Like some people think they're like scams, but they're really not, because they're not the ones that are really badly priced. Like, yeah, you don't want to do those, but the ones that get you out there and aren't too badly priced, and you look up reviews now, everything's online. You can just look it up and be like, hey, what do people say about this one? And we saw this one, and I think it was $60 each or something like that. And you know, it was like three hours of ATVing through the jungle. We got to see monkeys, like wild monkeys, like in the trees and shit, and crap load of iguanas and other stuff. And I almost only flipped the ATV once, which is good. I thought it'd be way more than that. And that would have been a bad situation, because I'm pretty sure they really don't ever like, safety is kind of like, I guess, you know, not first priority. in certain situations. So
it's like second or third, maybe.
I flipped a couple ATVs in my day. It's scary. It's scary, but it's not like, I don't know. You're so unstrapped.
They seem heavy. Yeah, oh yeah.
They're heavy, but like if you flip it, you are going to stop a lot quicker than the ATV is going to go. So chances are,
true.
If it does flip, you're going to slip out of it and just be on your ass bruised up. So, I did have a friend though who wrecked an ATV and broke both of his arms. I have seen
like
tragedy strike.
Yeah.
But the majority of the time when I or other friends have fallen on ATVs, it's never. It's pride has been hurt. That was the most
injured
part of
it. Yeah, not too serious stuff. And they give you like a quick rundown of how to use them. I haven't rode an ATV honestly since I was probably like 8 years old at like a cottage, and they're just like, here you go. This is how you start it. This is the brake. This is the go. And you do a couple laps around this tree that was in the parking lot thing. And I was like, hey, here we go. And to get to the jungle, you got to go on the main streets. So that was kind of cool. There's like a line of like 10 of us on ATVs and just traffic passing us and shit. I'm like, yeah, totally safe. This is awesome.
So ironically, you actually went through as tough as a driving school as Chris and I both did when we were getting our American driver's license.
I guess. I have no idea. I have nothing to compare that to. But
well, trust me, that's how it was, because nowadays there are permits and like you get your license, but for like, what is it, like 90 days to 6 months, you're on a probationary period. So like there's certain hours of the day. And then the tests are more rigorous. The written and the driving tests are more rigorous. Sometimes some states even require defensive driving courses to even get in the door.
We had to do a defensive driving course. You don't have to, but if you want to get it like at the right time, yes, you do.
For us, it was more of an insurance thing. It made our insurance cheaper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but in me and Chris's day, which is weird to say because he's like 60 years older than me.
Yes.
Like
60 years, that's right.
It was very, very simple. At 15, you got a permit. You can drive with an adult. And at 16, you got your license. And it's like, good luck to everyone on the road with you.
And my driving test. And the driving test is in a parking lot. It's like.
Mine was on a street. To be fair, mine was on a street. We drove through the town and everything. But it literally was a series of right turns. It was. Oh,
yeah. So it was like really, really easy.
Series
of
right
turns. Mine was in a parking lot. And that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No parallel park or anything like that.
You didn't
have to
parallel
do that.
Park? I had to parallel park.
Did not have the parallel park.
But I was always really good at that anyway.
So. This is Mississippi. Okay. We're driving through the fucking woods. I'm going to parallel park between an oak
two
tree
trees, man.
And a fucking possum carcass. That's what I'm going to parallel park in between.
I took a defensive driving course anyway. So like when I was taking that course, I had more challenges during that course than the test. Like, easily. Like, my first time ever driving on the highway was in the middle of rush hour traffic and pouring down rain. I was 15 years old.
Chris,
scared
that happened
the
to me.
Shit out of
exactly.
Me.
First day of my license. First day of my license coming back from high school. Still to this day, probably the worst rain I've ever experienced in my entire life. And my first day of my license scared the shit out of me. I'm right there with you, man.
And like, you said you had to drive on the road. We didn't have to drive on the road. We had a parking lot test. But one of the things you had to do is they put out like half a dozen cones and you have to slalom them, right?
That's fun. Okay.
So I had to do that. And then in my defensive driving course, they made me do it backwards. So I had to go through them reverse.
That's interesting. So, okay.
Cause that happens often.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You have to dodge cones all the time in the States.
Yep, especially in reverse.
Here's the last
difference.
Those
damn possum carcasses, they're fucking everywhere when you're reversing.
So Chris, here's probably the biggest last difference with the driver's test. Between you and I, you had an instructor, right? Like an actual like person who worked at this place, like an instructor person who was like,
sitting
you know,
in the passenger seat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like someone certified with the state to do that. Okay.
Sure.
I had a fucking cop. I had a sheriff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They had where I live, they had the sheriff deputies, ride with all the future drivers. And it was actually an interesting experience because as we're going, the whole drive took about, I would say somewhere in between 10 and 12 minutes. And the whole time, though, as he's instructing me to go places, he's pointing things out and teaching me, like, exactly from his viewpoint as a cop, things that you don't want to see, pointing out mistakes that other drivers were making. And then at the end, he was like, you're going to be a very good driver one day. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I am a good driver, actually. I'm just extremely slow. If you would believe that, I am extremely slow.
Eh. As long as you're not like grandpa slow, like if they're like, you know, the speed limit's 50 and you're doing like 40, then whatever.
Not that slow. Like, I'll maintain speed limit 2 or 3 miles above. The only time I go like 10, 20 miles above is if I'm driving like from Charleston to
like the freeway
to Atlanta or something like that. Yeah, freeway, something that's like clear open road, just fly through. But yeah, anyway. So, Jeff.
Hey.
Vacation.
Yeah, I have one more story. Not even a story. It's definitely a story. But I honestly could talk about Costa Rica for like ever. It was fucking awesome. We had iguanas everywhere, just like down by a resort, and Tiny's like running around taking pictures of them and shit. But the first day we decided to walk into town ourselves. It was like the second or third day we were there. I can't remember. We're like, well, let's go get some lunch. So we went to this place called Z Bar. And it's very, very, it's kind of an Americanized. Actually, the Costa Rica is actually surprisingly Americanized. Like, we had a fucking Hard Rock Cafe, like, pretty much attached to our condo resort thing, and a Papa John's right across the street.
That's always disappointing when you go to these cool places.
Yeah, we did go to Papa John's just for the hell of it, because we don't get Papa John's in Canada. So we were like, well, one day for lunch, like, let's get something small. We'll split, like, one of those personal pizzas. And it was okay. But we never went to Hard Rock. But all the other places were really good and not American. So we went to this place called Z Bar. It's, you know, bar type grill kind of thing. And so we're sitting there, and I ordered some chicken wings, and it was happy hour, so we got a couple of margaritas, and by a couple, probably like four. And Tanya had, I can't remember what Tanya had at that time. Nachos, maybe? I can't remember.
Did Tanya get lit?
She actually, after she had the first margarita, she was like, I think I'm getting drunk. She doesn't really drink too much, and the margaritas were kind of strong. So, yeah, it definitely got to her. So we're sitting there, you know, having a good time, you know, just looking around. And I will not lie, it was mostly the area of Costa Rica we're in wasn't in Tamarindo or like the places that are like surfer towns where like a lot of like the younger people go. This is more of like, there was definitely young people there, but it was also a lot of like retired people. There's a lot of like older people. So the restaurant was like quite a few older people around. Like, we actually ended up going, well, hold on, I'll get there in a second, but. So we're sitting down. This guy, he walks past us and goes, "Hey, it's hot in here, eh?" And we're like, "Yeah, it's really fucking hot," because it was really hot there, especially during the middle of the day. He didn't say
Canadian.
He didn't say "a." He's like, "Really hot in here." And then he's walking.
This is an amazing story, Jeff.
Yeah, he's going to the washroom and he's like, "I don't know if it's hot in here, if just the joint I smoked." And I'm like, "Oh, here we go," because I fit that, you know, that.
Of course.
I guess that market. It's like, here, this guy tattoos, beard, whatever, he's going to want to smoke. So he comes back to his seat. He's by himself. And then he's like, we're sitting there, and he turns around eventually to Tanya. He goes, "Excuse me, if you don't mind, can I guess where you guys are from?" So we're like, sure, go for it. So he's like, okay, your guys are from the Northwest. We're like, first of all, we're like, Northwest of what? So we're like, sure, whatever. And then he's like, eventually gets down to, what's your favorite football team? So we're like, soccer or football? He's like, well, we call it soccer here too. So American football. So Tanya goes, the Giants. So that, of course, threw him off. So he's like, you guys are from
we gotta talk. Got
words.
We gotta talk.
Yeah.
Get her on. Get her on the fucking microphone.
Go wake her up.
Right now.
So we're like, no, we're actually from Canada. And he's like, oh, from Canada. Okay. I never would have guessed. Okay, cool. And then, so we're continuing, and eventually he just keeps talking. He's like, it's my day off today. I usually do, excursions and stuff. I'm a guide, but it's my day off, so I'm not gonna try to sell you on anything. So we're like, oh, of course you're not. Then he ends up coming and sitting with us. And we did actually learn a lot about him. He did tell us what excursions were bullshit. He's like, that volcano, there's some volcano that's like a 3-hour drive that everyone goes see in Costa Rica. He's like, don't see that. It's the biggest ripoff in the entire world. It's just famous because it's the most popular one, but there's literally nothing to do. You can't even see it because where it is, there's always like fog and clouds. There's just no point. And then it gets to the point where he looks over at me and goes, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah, sure. Go for it. He's like, do you smoke weed? I'm like, no. He's like, oh my God. He's like, that's the first time I've ever gotten that wrong. I'm like, why? He's like, I don't know. I saw like whatever. It looked like I figured you smoke weed. I'm like, no. I'm like, and then Tiny's like, why, are you a dealer? He kind of laughs and goes, no, I'm a felicitator. I'm like, okay, that's That's the same. That's, you know, totally different things. So we're like, oh, is it legal here? He's like, oh no, it's totally legal here. Then we're like, okay, explain. He's like, well, you can't have it on, you're allowed to smoke it or do whatever, but you can't have it on your whatever. Like, so it's illegal.
Wait, how's that much, go?
I'm like, it's illegal.
That's the same as everywhere. Like, you're not going to get arrested for smoking pot. You're going to get arrested for having it on you. They'll just, whatever. And then his lead up from that is, oh, do you do coke? I'm like, I don't smoke. I'm like, that's your next lead up? And I was like, no, I don't do that either.
I get it's the next step up for drugs. I understand that in the hierarchy of drugs to try. Like, it's weed, then cocaine.
Yeah.
Like,
that's, maybe acid somewhere that. In between there. But
maybe,
no one does acid anymore.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But like, in general
funny.
Conversation with a stranger, how do you go from A to pot to B to, well, okay, well, you don't smoke. And plus, you said no. You said no
said
that
no.
you don't smoke.
I didn't even say yeah, you know, or even like sometimes. I was just like, no, not really. I was like, no. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then he went and showed us a bunch of pictures on his Facebook about his tours. He has private tours or whatever. And I was kind of sketch at first, but he actually knows all the people there. Like, all the waitresses and bartenders were like talking to him here and there. And everyone spoke pretty well. Like, they spoke English really well, so it wasn't really a problem there. But it was actually kind of funny, and we learned a lot about the country through him sitting there. It was just really funny because at the end of it, he really was trying to sell us to take one of his private thing, like his excursions kind of thing. And we're just like, yeah, no, we'll definitely, we'll message you on Facebook and, you know, see if we're interested. And we're like, yeah, no.
Is he one of these guys that's like, his island name is Beep Boop, but his name's like Josh or something?
No,
he's from Wisconsin.
He actually, he was born in Costa Rica and moved really, really young to actually New Orleans. So he actually lived in the States for a bit. And then, he dated a girl from Quebec, and I was like, I'm sorry. And then he has two kids with her, I think. Then he moved back to Costa Rica and hasn't gone back. And that was like 20 years ago. Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
So anyway, and the other thing I was going to mention is we went on Valentine's Day. We never celebrated. We happened to go out Valentine's Day night. She's like, oh, we'll just go grab a couple drinks at Z Bar because I think we ate in that night and my parents were kind of tired. So like, well, we'll just go out there ourselves. And we went there and they had a whole Valentine's Day thing going on. But again, it was all like older people and the place like cleared out at like 9:30. But the place is big. You can tell like when it's high season or whatnot, like they get a lot of people in there. They had a DJ and stuff, but it was fun. It was very awesome. I was very skeptical going into it. I'm glad Tanya talked me into going on such short notice because we literally just decided we're going to go maybe 3 weeks before we left. So, but it was a lot of fun. And
that's
then
a good
I came
way
back
to
work
it, though,
and work
man.
Fucking sucked. Yeah. I want
to
go back.
That's a good way to do it.
If I'd go back, I'd probably do another excursion maybe. Like, we didn't do ziplining because we did ziplining in Mexico. We didn't do the, what's that thing called? Catamaran that a lot of places do when they're on the ocean. We didn't do that because we did that and went to Canada before. But the ATVing was definitely like two thumbs up. It was so fucking, I had a shitting grin on my face the entire time since I like started that thing up to when we got back. And yeah, it was cool. It was fun.
Very nice. Next time you and Tanya plan that, man, just
let you guys know.
Holler,
for sure.
Holler at us. Let us
for
know.
For sure. We might go back next year, the year after. Some more information I will share at break.
And is fest.
Costa Rica fest, style. Costa Rica.
Whew. It's gonna be a hot ticket, baby.
Oh yeah. So anyway, Travis, what have you been up to this past week?
So we're recording late in the evening. We started at about 9:45 tonight. I came straight from nonstop work and then running home and then running back and grabbing Megan and running back to go see a Holocaust survivor speak at the local Jewish community center. And it's the first time I've ever had an experience like this. I've never, apart from things that you would see in documentaries or films or in your textbooks, aside from that, and that's so, there's always something in between you. You know what I mean? There's always something in between you when you're reading or researching the Holocaust in those specific mediums. So it was the first time really face to face, being able to meet someone, and I didn't meet her, like shake her hand or anything, but at least be in the same vicinity as someone who's experienced that. And this isn't someone who was like 7 or 8 when they had to go through this. I mean, she was 15, so she remembers vividly a lot of this. What makes her story so amazing is that when she was 11 or 12, she actually lived next to and was very, very friendly with Anne Frank, and which was very, very interesting because you hear her being called Anne Frank the entire time, but she spoke of her so personally, and she called her Anna, and there was something in the way that she even said Anne Frank's name as Anna. It was just almost like some sort of like heartbreaking passion behind it. Because of what these people went through. And she tells a story about like their separation from not just people they knew around town, but like at some point she was completely separated from her entire family. And they would have no clue what would be happening to one another, mainly because the men and the women were completely separated from each other from the get-go. So it was really hard to stay in communication and finding out what's happening, and just really, really visceral way of explaining her experience. And it was haunting. But this 87-year-old woman just never allowed the hope to come out of her voice. And this is a woman who stayed silent about her experiences with the Holocaust for 40 years until she met her husband, and her husband said, "You have to tell your story. You have to talk to people about this, create awareness so history doesn't repeat itself." Because people see It's weird because people see like Nazi Germany and World War II, and they read it in those books with that veil that I spoke about earlier in front of it. And you think, well, that can't happen again, right? And when you hear her, she urges, like, educate yourself. And it was just one of the most powerful events. Easily the most powerful event I've ever seen in regards to someone public speaking. And it really puts a lot of things in perspective, especially with current events. And I know we keep this show really, really, politic free, but I do feel that it's important to state, with a microphone in your face at all, especially after seeing this woman and telling her story and literally telling us, like, she honestly, you know, aside from like Goebbels and Hitler himself and stuff like that, who are obviously pure evil, she showed remorse. I mean, these are a group of people that murdered her friends and family by the millions. And she would sit there, and on like 5 different occasions, she wanted to urge that she like forgives them. She knows that they're good people just because they were falling away. I mean, there is a level of free will that you have to decide, okay, I'm going to do this. But these people were, some of these soldiers they were forced and oppressed just as well. Mm-hmm. They were fearful of what these people would do to them if they didn't follow the
orders. Or their families, yeah.
So they were very, she was very respectful to them in many cases. And that spoke volumes for me throughout the entire night. Because I personally am just sick and tired. I can no longer watch the news, even though I want to, even though I want to stay involved. That's what makes me so mad. I want to be involved with current events. I just can't stand the negativity, the yelling, the screaming at each other. People just can't accept the fact that it's okay to be different. It's okay to have opposing views. Chris, something that was really amazing that shed light on me. You've always talked extremely, extremely, extremely highly over your friend Ralph, probably one of your best friends ever, or if not your best friend ever. And you guys have almost the completely opposite political views.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of cases.
It's not completely, but yeah, that's very, 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 very true.
But you see past that because it's not who he is.
Yeah.
What someone prefers for their country, most cases, unless they're a flat out bigot, it doesn't it doesn't carry their actual true character. It doesn't show who they really are. It's not. Yeah. And you have to give every single person a chance. People just can't do it anymore. We're so connected in social media, and everybody has to have their say. They have to have their say. But if their say is contradicted, or if they hear something that they have their heads shoved so far up their asses that they just think that, well, I'm inconvenienced now because you said something I don't like, so I'm going to fire back. And it's like,
why? And that's really the entire thing of this bullshit. It's all people being too sensitive about things that don't affect them in any way. You know, it's like, why do you care if two gay men get married? You know, you don't, you shouldn't, because it's not affecting your fucking life. So fucking get over it. You know, what do you care what bathroom a transgender person goes into? You shouldn't, because you're not going to ask them to look under their, you know, in their pants to see if they have what parts they have. It frustrates the shit out of me because intolerance.
But it's frustrating. Yeah.
The intolerance at any level is just ignorant, and it pisses me the fuck off. It's awful.
Yeah. But it drew up a lot of those concerns that I have for, I mean, not just our country, other countries in general. To see this beautiful human being, you know, we talk about beauty, you know, offhand, and you think of someone just that's physically attractive. She radiated beauty and strength, and this is an 87-year-old German woman, and she was just such an inspiration. And I was walking back to the car, Chris, with Megan, and I was like, Chris, I was like, Megan, if I complain about one stupid thing in the next 48 hours, I want you to call me out on it, because I don't know what fucking trouble is. I don't know what misery is. I have no clue.
Nope.
I know what inconvenience and problems are. That's what I know.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, it's one of those things that I don't want to see that kind of shit happen again. And, it scares me that it's going to. It scares me. You know?
Yeah, the second people get persecuted, and she did mention that. She says, look, I can't say whether or not something like that's going to happen. I do not have a crystal ball. But she was like, what we're seeing with the Muslim community, what we're seeing with the Mexican community, she's like, it's not very different. It's not very different. Yeah. And that is scary. That is scary. But I guess, you know, only time will tell. I do want to say one last little piece of politics that I'm proud to say happened and fully support. In the state of Maryland, the federal court in the state of Maryland announced that AR-15s are considered weapons of war and are not held under the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. Humongous ruling. I am sorry. I can understand long-distance rifles. I can understand handguns. I can understand those things for protection, for sport. There is no reason to have an automatic rifle or a semi-automatic weapon of war like the AR-15, and I'm extremely proud. I'm sorry if there are listeners who don't like that. I'm sorry. I'm all for having guns 100%, but I think there is a line you should cross, and that's it. And I'm proud of Maryland for doing that. Sometimes I get very jealous that I don't live in the North, because I think being a part of that state, you should be very proud of yourself. So anyway, that's it for me. Chris,
I'll add to that is just, you know, keep in mind that no private citizen is allowed to own an automatic weapon. So the AR-15s that they sell are not automatic weapons.
I mentioned that they were semi-auto. Yeah.
I mean, it's semi-auto, as you just said, it fires every time you pull the trigger. You
know, but that is a extremely deadly, high-powered.
Aren't they also very easy to modify as well?
It's a hair trigger. It's a very easy, easy trigger to pull. And I'm not disagreeing at all. I am 100% behind the Second Amendment and you know, gun ownership and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in common sense gun laws. You know, I don't know why people, there are people out there that are actually defending, or trying, I should say, pushing back against, like, people on the no-fly list, allowing people on the no-fly list to buy guns. It's like, so you're not going to let them fly, but you're going to let them buy a gun. It's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. They're obviously a threat, so why would you sell them one?
But I only got kicked off of that flight because I had weed gummy bears on me. I still want to own a gun, Chris.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like Crystal and I have discussed it, and we will as well, but we're not going to until the kids are old enough to shoot them. And,
yeah, that's smart.
You know, we're looking at, you know, probably, just before they get to
that sentence
teenage,
totally the wrong way.
Right before they get to their teenage years where they can learn how to properly use and how to,
that's better.
To understand how a gun works.
Phrasing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
That's what we're going
to
go.
Like, I mean, yeah. Or just don't even introduce them to them unless they actually have an interest in them. That's another thing. Like, you don't need to be like, at a certain age, be like, here, kid, have a gun or learn how to fire a gun.
Well, no, you know? it'll be actual, like, an actual, education session with a professional of some sort.
No. What I'm saying is you don't even have to introduce that to them unless they show an interest in it. That's what I mean.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I would like to have a gun in the house for self-defense. I am okay with that. If I'm going to do that, they need to know how to use it. Respect it, I should say. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I have no problem. I have no issues with guns as long as they're, you know, as long as there's proper education behind it, you know. And that's the thing. A lot of times there's not.
Yep. So what happened this week, man?
Moving on.
So I haven't been caught up to speed very much on the house situation.
House situation. Let's see. Had the inspection done. We had the appraisal done. The appraisal came back $15,000 more than we're buying it for. So that's good.
Very, very good.
I think that's pretty commonplace, but still. We close on the 7th, which is a week from Tuesday. And I'm taking the rest of that week off, to move all of our stuff. We're going to have to go, we're going to have to go shopping. I'm in the market for a new television now, because we're going to have, we have one in the living room and then the basement's going to be the game room. So I don't have a television for that. So, this is all happening around the right time because I just got my bonus from work. So that'll be able to cover some of it. My wife and I discussed the fact that, the kids will still want to play things like Disney Infinity and Lego Dimensions and things like that. So we were discussing keeping the PS4 in the living room, which means I might be in the market for another PS4, for the game room. So this is all happening like, and then I got to go and look at furniture for the game room it's a good thing that I've got a good amount of equity in this house because I'm going to need it. But all that shit's going to happen, starting on the 3rd, or I'm sorry, on the 7th. We have some things that we need to have done to the house before we move in, like putting up a fence in the back, so that the dogs can go do their thing. It's all really exciting. It's all coming together. Pretty much all of my closing is going to be paid by the seller. So that's nice too. I don't think there's anything else to say about that. This house is not up on the market yet. We have to clean it up, get some of the rooms painted. I'm probably looking at having this on the market in April. Based on what I've seen around this neighborhood, the houses go super fast. I mean, it's crazy how quickly they go. So I'm hoping that my place will be similar. Let's see. Outside of that, I'm getting braces. So it is
really?
Actually
oh, wow, that
happening.
Came out of nowhere.
It's actually finally happened. Well, it's not came out of nowhere. I've been wanting to get them since I got out of college, actually. It just never, it never pieced together. It just seemed like the timing was right. So I'm getting them on the same week as I buy the house. I'm getting them on that Thursday. I'll get the tops on and then I have to go back to get the bottoms on. But it's going to be between 2 and 3 years that I'm going to wear them. But yeah, I'll be a 44-year-old with straight teeth. It'll be great. finally. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that I never got to do because we just couldn't afford it when I was younger. So now that I can finally, you know, put that together, we're going to get that done. And, also checking out the orthodontist for my kids for when they need to get it done. Let's see what else.
You gotta keep that grill right, man.
Hey, you know, they say if you're the straighter your teeth, the longer they last you. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Probably need to get braces.
Yeah. Get them sooner rather than later, I'm telling you.
That's true.
The biggest problem with me is that I don't actually have orthodontal insurance. So it's like my dental insurance, it covers orthodontal up until you're age 19. And once you're age 19, you're no longer covered. So, yeah, I'm not covered under any insurance for that.
But, I'm going to give a word to the wise out to our younger listeners. If you have an opportunity where you're given insurance through your work, if you feel like you just want to spend the least amount of money, that's fine. Like, get the lowest plans just so you can have your insurance. I understand for, you know, doctor visits or hospital visits and everything. Never get the cheap plan for your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Never get the cheap plan for your teeth. If there's any advice, if you learn anything from this podcast after 400 plus episodes, always get Premier Dental Health Coverage. You will be so much happier in the long run. Always do it. You never know what's going to happen to your teeth.
Yeah, there's only one for me. But the other thing I would say is if you get braces, get your wisdom teeth out first.
Get them out.
Yeah.
I have to get mine out.
I do too. I still haven't got mine out yet.
Me neither.
So that's on the list as well.
So that's
pretty much it though. I mean, the biggest thing right now is that we're just trying to pack and get ready to move, and it's all sneaking up on us pretty quickly.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Browing Up episode 23.
No
tune
kidding.
In next to Interactive Distractions.
I'm going
to
wait.
On the next episode, we will be covering proper urinal etiquette.
Oh man, we can get into that right now.
I could talk the hour about urinal etiquette.
Seriously, especially like public places. Oh man,
we're not also, going down that road.
No, we're not.
The worst place in the world, at least in terms of public places, the worst place in the world is any airport bathroom. The sounds that come from that room are haunting. It's terrible.
Get in, do your business, get out.
Because, here's the deal. Like, in an airport, back when I was, like, smoking or vaping, like, you can't do that in airports really anymore.
No,
Atlanta's the only airport that I know that has smoking rooms. Everywhere else doesn't even have them.
Yeah, I don't even think Toronto does anymore.
I always have to go into the bathroom and sneak out, like, a smoke or
like
a vape.
You'd actually sneak a smoke in an airport bathroom?
No, it would just be the vape.
Okay, I was going to say, that's ballsy.
Well, I said smoke and vape last time. It just repeated itself.
Yeah.
Copy and pasted wrong, my bad.
No worries.
But yeah, that would be always a place that every time I get a second, run into the bathroom, fat vape rip, just get really lit. And even in 10 minutes and being in there, because you want to, you know, get as much as you can, just the noises and sounds in there. Oh, it's haunting. Yeah. We need to talk bathroom etiquette one day, guys.
Yeah,
just urinal etiquette.
I'm growing up episode
just
7.
Just because you're in a bathroom it doesn't mean that you should just try to make the loudest fucking nastiest noise.
Oh, but kind of it does.
Ass.
I think that's why. Anyway, we could seriously talk about this for like an hour, but no games.
No,
Travis, what have you been playing?
Travis, abrupt.
Won't talk too much about the first game, but I just started and messed around with the first couple of hours of the new Deus Ex, or the newer
the
Deus
new
Ex.
One.
Okay.
I like
good,
it.
And it's pretty great, actually, because the first game was great. And this game is exactly the first game, but just prettier, right? I mean,
that's what I was saying about it. It was more of the same, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I like it a lot, but everything is improved to the umpteenth degree. And I think what they did in the very beginning of the game with the introduction does it a service. since the gameplay is so similar and almost from what I've experienced so far, almost a carbon copy of a game that was released, what, 3 years ago? They play an intro that's like 12 or 13 minutes long that basically tells you every single thing that happens in the first game. Every single thing. And it's just this long Jensen-led monologue about every single main mission. And
that happened.
Yeah, but it was good. It actually, it was like, you know what? I needed to watch this after I beat the first Deus Ex game. Then I would have understood what the hell was going on after I beat it. So a couple hours into that, really, really happy. But I think that intro did it a great service, because since the game plays so similarly, they showed a lot of flashbacks with gameplay from the first game, Last Generation. Mm-hmm. So they say, okay, well, since our game does play the same, it does help the fact that the game looks better, sounds better. It's just a huge, 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 huge upgrade just because the aesthetics were improved, or the things that affect your senses were all improved except for smell. The game does not stink. It's pretty good. So more into that. We'll talk more into it. I'm very, very interested in seeing where the story goes. I like the story in the last one. I like, you know, corporate intrigue. That's always an interesting topic, especially in kind of like a sci-fi setting. So really psyched to get into as much as I can with that before Horizon comes out.
It's really good. It's not even that long-ish, depending on what you want to do.
I was thinking about just like pounding through the main storyline, not really worrying so much about
some of the side stuff is really good, though. But I mean, you don't have to. I mean, that's the thing with Deus Ex. Like, if you don't do the side stuff, you're not going to have as much like praxis points and stuff to open up a lot of the skills. Right. But the side stuff in that game isn't bad. But the thing is, it'll just lengthen your, I mean, Horizon comes out, what, Tuesday?
Yep. Tuesday, yeah.
If you were to just dedicate yourself just to Deus Ex, it's probably doable.
With the amount of Rocket League we've been playing this past week.
I know, we've been playing a lot of Rocket League.
Yeah, we've really adopted some fucking Rocket League this week. It just popped back into our life for some reason.
Because it's fun?
I mean, it's amazing, but there's really so good. Many games to play. It's like, why am I? I mean, aside from the fact that it's fun, why am I playing Rocket League? Because there's so many games I'm trying to clean up. So the next game, play a little more Final Fantasy 15. Why not? They released a patch that, the most important thing for me was they increased the level cap. I don't know why it's important to me. I'm already kicking everything in the game's asses, and it's not really adding anything new or more powerful to the game, but you're still getting the level raise. The big difference is, I think the level jump from, they basically made level 99 to 120 to take a really, 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 really long time. The jump in XP needed, I think from 98 to 99, something along the lines of like, 800,000 or something. It almost leapfrogs to fucking like a mil and a half almost. Maybe a mil and a quarter. And then it just gets exponentially bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You need, just to get these 20 levels, you need millions of points. It's insane. So I don't even know if I'm going to do that, to be honest with you. I don't have that kind of time. But the big game that I really want to talk about, that I've poured about 20 hours in so far this week alone, and it's very interesting because, one, it's another Final Fantasy game, and number two, this game has been getting shit on. I'm talking a serial steaming.
Wait, let me guess the game before. Wait, so you haven't said the game yet. Oh, you're talking about the Final Fantasy game, or is this a different game besides the Final Fantasy game?
It is a Final Fantasy.
Is it that's brawler one, the beat 'em up one?
No, it is not. I'll go ahead and say it. It's Final Fantasy VI on iOS.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. So, I never realized it was on the... Well, I knew it was, but it never intrigued me. Because I was like, I'm not a huge fan of mobile gaming, but I would like to find some sort of hardcore game. Because there's always a situation where it would be nice to pull up my phone and play around for 5 minutes, but I don't, I'm not interested in little casual Candy Crush or Angry Birds. I mean, those are fun in small doses, but I kind of want like a longer, like real game. So I saw that was on there and I was like, okay, well, this is obviously something that I am going to be interested in. And this is one of my favorite games of all time. And I go online and just saw the just countless, not a single positive review, guys. I'm not joking. Not a single positive review. And it's not fully one. Because this game has a different look to the characters, to the sprites. The backgrounds and everything, the background, everything looks completely the same. They did not change the backgrounds, but certain icons, like for instance, if you use a tent out in, at a save point, like your, the screen goes black and your character turns into the tent, like they redid the tents and everything like that. So a few things got a touch up, but, and overall, I kind of dig the retrofit. I'm not going to lie to you. They move a little weird, like the old, the movements and the animations look better back in the, you know, the 16-bit era. It's a little more charming, but just like standing still or kind of turning their head or anything like that, it's, I think it's completely fine. I think it's more definitive on the older version. It's just what I'm used to. I'm set in my ways that way. But I don't think it looks bad. I don't think it deserves.
It's honestly, just people being people.
It's aggravating as shit, but it's yeah, like, how are you going to sit here? Like, and everybody unanimously agree. And I'm very picky about graphics. I am kind of a graphics whore, man. And I have no problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I think gameplay wise, I think this is the definitive version to play this game. And I am not joking. The touch commands, playing this game with touch commands is amazing. It makes everything go by a lot faster. Things like Sabin's.
Did you play it on DS? That's what I played it on like the most. Since
did it have
S.
touch?
It was touch,
never played it
yeah,
on
the
DS.
The touchpad was the commands and stuff like that.
It's
was done
fantastic.
Really well.
You yeah. can play Final Fantasy VI, which is a hardcore Japanese role-playing game.
I'm looking at pictures of it now, and I can see like, you know what? Whatever. It's fine.
They are washed out. Like, they do look a little.
It's not they're washed out. They're just totally out. Redrawn. They're not even, like, they're
I
totally
seen
different.
It, so I really don't
not...
have, I don't have any.
Dude, the internet.
I,
seriously,
okay, let's put it this way.
Is...
I prefer the old style more.
Absolutely.
But this wouldn't bother me to be like, the game fucking sucks and not put it like a decent review of it. It's not that bad.
But playing this game, going back to what I was saying, though, which is one of my main points, like, the gameplay is rock solid. The game already plays great, like, even on the controller. If you like, you know, stiff 1990s role-playing games.
Yeah.
Which I do. And, you know, man, inputting Sabin's fighting commands is the easiest it's ever been. Just perusing the menus, anything. Now, controlling the character is the worst part.
Well, yeah.
Controlling the character on a virtual thing. But I kind of knew that going in. I put it in my head, okay, I'm buying a game that I'm going to have to be using touch controls to move the character. I just need to accept that and be okay with it. Because I love everything else of this game so much, I need to be okay with this one thing. So I made peace with it, and I'm okay with it. It's clunky. My cream scratched, so I keep
to,
on, like,
to be honest, the old ones are also clunky, dude. Like, it's if you go back and play the Super Nintendo one, whatever, they don't,
yeah,
you can't move
too.
In diagonals, so it's like you can only move left, right, up, and down, so it's
right.
It's very, very, like, grid-based, even though you're not on a grid, and that's, you know, it's...
They did recode the movement to where you can walk diagonally in this game.
Oh, really?
It's fucking awesome. Hmm. But you still do find yourself trying to, like, go, like, you're standing in front of a door, but you're to the left or the right, and you can, okay, bud, like, just nudge over to the right. Nudge, no, fuck! Okay, back over two. Fuck!
Yeah.
Fuck.
I can
totally
see
that. So that happens. That happens. But sometimes,
so man,
you just like...
So people have problems with, the change in the sprites?
Yeah. They do look weird, but I mean, they don't look awful.
They look fine.
They look fine.
They just stand out with the backgrounds.
Yeah, the backgrounds, I mean, some of the backgrounds are still like old school backgrounds, but
well,
they look fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking on the airship, and the airship, it looks, it, you know, it's, the airship
itself
looks
gonna look the
old
same.
School.
It's fine. It's the same exact.
Yeah, but the sprites are newer, so that looks a little bit out of place. But like the battle sequences, looks like the backgrounds are redone too in the battle sequences.
But now I understand that people. I don't know. I don't even know if I want to open this can of worms. I don't want to open that can.
Don't. It's an iOS game. Don't open too much. Like it's.
No. I'm not.
Unless you're gonna open up something.
Yeah, it's a remake of an old game. So.
Exactly. Yeah. But here I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Like you have this game, which people, their main whining point, their only whining point, is going to be about how the game, or at least the characters, look. Because the rest of the game looks exactly the same. And yet you're not going to bitch and complain about the version of Final Fantasy VI that was in the Anthology Collection on PS1.
Oh, that was like fucking awful. Load loading times to get and everything. Into
fucking fights.
Yeah.
And you're not going to bitch
That's
about
by
that
far the worst
to...
version.
I'm sure there was bitching about that at the time.
There was.
There was. Just, and there also wasn't
there
social
wasn't
media.
Twitter or Facebook.
I was
so,
going to say, there wasn't social media like it is today, but...
But I'm I was on, I was heavy on GameFAQs, and yeah, people didn't like it, but just the nastiness. Well, also, I guess people are just generally nastier online now anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, so it's just today. People, quit sucking. Just quit sucking.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't suck.
That's, don't suck.
Don't suck. Two words that'll get you through life.
All right.
Yeah.
What else?
That's it. That's it. Yeah, that's it. And a lot of Rocket League, man. Having a great, great night with the boys in some Rocket League. It's been a fun week. I can say that. So, what about you, Chris? What you playing?
Well, I don't have a whole lot to add. Lots of Rocket League, as we said. I actually went back to Dust, an Elysian Tale.
Elysian Tale?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Wow. I saw you playing that.
I finally got back into that, and I don't know. You know, I played it on 360. And I played it for probably about 2 or 3 hours and then ended up moving on to something else. But, right now I was like, I just wanted a break from Final Fantasy. I just wasn't feeling it at the time. And I was like, I'll just, you know, look through my library and it's like, oh, Dust, that's downloaded. I'll play that.
And Chris, you're so close to the chapter 13.
No, I'm on chapter 7, dude.
I know, but it's not far from chapter 13. I promise you. I mean, you could get there in less than 10 hours. If, I would just, yeah, definitely don't pass that point until that update comes out where it adds the extra content at this point.
And that's part of the other reason is that I've just been, you know, I've been hearing about the update that's coming and I just haven't been sure if I wanted to continue. But, you know, I started playing Dust and, I'm probably about, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours into it. I'm about a third of the way, like percentage wise, about a third of the way through. And, yeah, I'm enjoying it again. The combat's pretty good. It's not overwhelming. It's pretty simple. I'll tell you what, you need to power up yourself. You need to, power up your defense really fast. Cause like early on in that game, like anything hits you and you're almost dead. But yeah, it's been a good experience again, going back to that again. But that's really it, guys. I haven't really been playing much. I got other shit that I'm doing.
Like houses.
Yeah, I know. So, Jeff, what about you?
Been playing basically one game, and I've been obsessed with it. So we got back on Saturday night, and Sunday I was like, well, I have Sunday and Monday off, so I want to do something. I want to play a video game or something. I didn't want to beat anything I haven't beat that I already own. And I was like, well, this Neo game's getting a lot of good reviews, so fuck it.
Talk to me, baby.
So, yeah, I downloaded
talk
Neo.
To me, baby.
And I don't remember if I spoke about it on this show or if I just talked about it with, like, friends online, but I was not high on the Neo, like, beta that came out or whatever it was, the alpha. I only did the first one when it was, like, a demo, but it was, like, an alpha. It was, like, probably, like, 6 months ago, maybe even more than that. I can't remember. But I didn't like it at all. And then you read some reviews, I'm like, you know what? And I'll give it a try. And dude, I like this game. It is, if you took Souls, like a Soulsborne game, Ninja Gaiden and Diablo and mashed them all together, that's basically what you get. And the Diablo part isn't to do with like the co-op or just like running through enemies. It's the loot system is very kind of, I guess I can't even say Diablo-ish. I guess it's just like loot, any loot-based thing. But that's the first thing that's like stuck out to me when I started playing was in Dark Souls and Bloodborne. This is what I always do. I end up getting a weapon that I like, and I stick to it the entire game. And you upgrade that one weapon as much as you can, and then I get an armor set that I like, and I stick to that armor set, because if you want to choose another armor set, you have to go way back down in defense. Yeah. Exactly. And it's fucking annoying. I hate that shit. But with this game, you're picking up loot. So you're constantly advancing. Like you're constantly getting better loot, better weapons, better armor. If you like the look of another armor more than what you're wearing that you've already picked up or used, you can actually go to a blacksmith and make it look like that armor, like in Diablo.
Oh, so you can transmog.
Brilliant. Yeah, which I think is fucking awesome. Like, I can wear, like, medium armor, but look like a fucking ninja. I'll get all the perks to having medium armor, but I can make it look like I'm a, like, shinobi guy. Or, you can craft stuff now. like, this is a sequel. You can craft stuff, but this is what I didn't like about forging stuff in other games like this. You'd forge a weapon, and you were stuck with how it was. And in this, you forge a weapon, you get its stats or whatever, and then you can take another weapon, like say it's not as good as my primary weapon I've been using for the past like 3 hours. I can meld the two, not together, I can take the weapon that is higher and soul match it so it becomes the same level as the new weapon I just made. So even though you make a weapon that might be like, oh, that's not as good as the weapon I'm using, why would I keep this? But then you can soul match it to the one that you've been using that's a higher level, and then it actually becomes better. The downside is it costs a lot of money to do that, but you can do that. It costs money incrementals of how many levels it is. So if you find a sword that's like level 20, or you forge a sword that's level 20, and you have a level 30 sword, you want to make it that good, it's going to cost a lot of money. But if you have like a level 23 sword, it's not going to be as much. So you're not stuck with using the same shit for a long period of time if you don't want to. And I really like that. That's one aspect I love, actually.
It sounds like your Diablo parallel was actually kind of right on point.
Mm.
Because when you think of Diablo a lot, you think of the end game. If you've played it a fair amount, that's what you think about. You think about the end game. So it's all about sets and shit like that. But what you're explaining is like extremely early, like before pre-level cap Diablo.
Yeah,
like you're always constantly mixing and matching and trying new things. I like that. So in our email thread, my question to you is, since my only comments to you in our email to date, it's been along the lines of, I'm sure I'll get this game eventually.
Eventually, yeah. You said you'll get it sometime this year or something.
But I've never flat out asked, and I'll ask you now.
Mm-hmm.
This shit's going to be my jam, right?
It's 100% going to be your jam.
This is going to be my shit. This is probably going to be a contender.
Yeah. It's like, that's why at least one of you guys has to play this when it comes. I know it's early, but it's definitely going to be in Game of the Year conversation for sure. Definitely by Jason and myself. Jason is also another person who kind of convinced me to give it a shot. And it plays, it's a Souls-ass Souls like born game. Like it's kind of the same setup except for it's level based now. It's not a big intertwining world. It's literally you play a level, you beat the boss, you go back to like a kind of like an overworld type thing where you just select the next mission, go play that mission, you can play side missions and stuff. So it's very linear in terms of where you need to go next. But the levels themselves that you go into are totally like a Soulsborne game where they kind of intertwine in turns themselves. There's shortcuts, there might be a mid boss, a main boss, along those lines. But the combat, this is what really sticks out to me is the combat. Because the combat, I thought, the reason I like Bloodborne more than Dark Souls is because the combat's faster. I like fast combat.
The combat is more fun. I mean, yeah. I'm a Souls freak, but the Bloodborne combat was eons more fun. Yeah.
And Neo's combat is eons more fun than Bloodborne.
Because
it is fast. And it is fast. Oh, it's like
I might buy it.
It's like Ninja Gaiden-esque, but... And you have to constantly, like, it's still the same thing. You have to keep an eye on your health, keep an eye on your stamina. But the game has a stamina boost thing that you do. It's kind of like an active reload, like in Gears of War. So when you do a combo, your stamina goes down and it gives like a white bar. if you do another move after that combo or you dodge something, that stamina disappears and you've lost it till it regens. But it'll regen blue really quickly, and when it hits the end of where you used it and you hit the R1, you get all that stamina back. Oh. So you can kind of stay on the offensive, but you still need to have some kind of defense as long as you're paying attention to that. And what's really cool about it is that some of the fights just seem so just ruthless. Like, you are just tearing motherfuckers up, and their limbs are flying off, and you're hacking off their heads and shit. But it's still hard. Like, you still have to keep all this in mind. You still have to dodge a lot. There's no shields. So it's like Bloodborne, that it's dodging, okay, dodging, and rolling, and blocking. But also, with every weapon, there's 6 weapons in the game. And you can use all of them if you want to, but it's like the Souls, where it's better to pick a style of weapon, because you're going to be putting points into it like you do in Dark Souls that'll make those weapons better. So if you're using, like, blades, for instance, like swords, and like the Kudagara, I think it's called, the chain thingy with the sickle at the end,
mm-hmm,
you probably wouldn't want to use stuff like axes or spears, because they use a totally different stat to boost those their attack power. So it's the same as Souls in that way. Like, you want to kind of stick to a genre of weapon. But you get points for using the weapons that make them stronger. You get points to open up moves. So, again, I'm going to compare this a shitload to the Souls series, because, let's be honest, they're similar. In the Souls games, you pretty much, each weapon had their set, like, three or four moves. If you're lucky, a weapon had, like, a fourth move or something. You open up moves for each weapon set. So you open up counters. Like, if a guy attacks you, you can flip him over your shoulder and stab him when they're on the ground. Or, like stealth attacks. Or you can add, like, 3 more hits to the end of a combo. So you're literally opening up attacks for each weapon constantly. Not constantly. I guess it depends on when you want to put the points in. But so every while I get some points and be like, oh, I'm going to open up this new maneuver. Now I can do a shadow kick when I'm guarding. So when I'm getting like gang raped by like 2 dudes, I do a shadow kick. I'm going to knock one over and I can run away and get out that way or something like that. Or open up like a spiral attack where I just spin with my swords out. Like, it's kind of like Ninja Gaiden that way, where you're, or Devil May Cry, where you're opening up skills and techniques as you play the game too, which I think is it keeps the combat fresh. You're not just doing the same moves. And to add on to that, you have 3 stances: high, medium, and low.
This is my concern. This is
it's
my
not,
this,
it's not hard.
But you see, you like DMC. DMC also
I did
comes
like
very
DMC.
Easy for you.
Yeah.
And I
don't
like that type
as much
of combat where I have a yellow, 2 greens, and 4 blue enemies, and I have to fucking memorize what button that I have to hold down to fucking bring out the weapon that's going to attack these 4 guys first. But then what button does these 2 guys?
You're not switching that. You don't use the stances. Basically just come down to weak attacks, medium attacks, strong attacks. That's basically what it comes down to. There's certain enemies where low attacks will be more effective because you can't hit them with high attacks because they'll simply swing over them. But the game doesn't move at the same speed as Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden. So you don't have to worry about, like, switching on the fly so much. Like, I'll do it every once in a while just because you get used to certain enemies. I know if I hit them twice, they're going to drop down to the ground. So then immediately all you do is hold down R1, hit either triangle, square, or X. Those are the 3 stances. I just know if I hit them twice, they're going to go down to the ground. And then I'll just hit that so it's low, and I'll keep hitting them on the ground. But you don't have to really worry about it. Like, mid-combo, you don't have to do any of that stuff. It's really not important. You can go through the entire game probably without even having to change a stance. It just becomes down to once you get used to it and you know certain enemies, are just more effective, or you're more effective to attack them a certain way. And there's really only 1 or 2 enemies I'm thinking about right now that really you have to go to low to make it really effective, and that's it. And that, I've probably played, I can't find the counter on the game for hours, but I'm level 40. And I wouldn't be surprised if I'm over 20 hours already, and I just got the game on Sunday.
Wow.
So it's, yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't think that'll be an issue with you, Travis, honestly, because the game doesn't move. And when the game is at its hardest, it is when you're getting mobbed by, like, more than one character or more than one enemy.
Classic Souls situation.
Be honest, though, that doesn't happen much unless you're doing some of the side missions. They do that to you quite a bit. But it's nothing to really worry about. You can probably play the entire game through just having the main medium stance. But you'll find when you play it, it has become so natural, and it's not even close. Like, in Devil May Cry, you had to do it. Like, certain enemies are like, oh, if you don't switch to this stance, you're not going to hurt them. Or if you don't switch to this weapon, you're not going to hurt them. It's right. not like that. At least not yet. It's not like that at all. You can kill every enemy in whichever stance you want. It's just some are more effective. And there's only two enemies I fought so far that it's just more effective to go.
Require it almost.
Yeah. It doesn't even require it. It's just they have more of a chance to hit you if you don't go to low.
Well, when I say require, I mean it's. This is what the developers. This is how
wanted
the developers
you to do
wanted
it.
You
it
was,
to
that do
was
this.
What,
is,
yeah. what was intended.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Well, let me go and get this thought out too, because there was one kind of semi concern. So by the time From Software got to Dark Souls 1, all right, they had just nailed the fucking balance, and that's what I appreciate so much about the Soul series to this day is the balance. It's so well done. That if you overwhelm yourself with too many enemies, like you mentioned before, or if you get a little bit reckless, or you're
or
not
if the
as
leveling system is fucked up.
Basically, simply, if you die, it's your fault. It's
oh,
a rare
totally.
Occasion There's... where the game fucks up and kills you when it's mostly your fault. Because that balance is so there, so it urges you to focus and appreciate how this game was laid out for you to. Attempt to conquer it. And you can't do that if the game is easy in one spot and hard in another spot. Like, you know, Dark Souls 3.
Well, I found Dark Souls
was
easy and hard depending on where you were. It wasn't constantly like. Let's put it this way. I found there's easier levels in Dark Souls and harder levels. It wasn't just like one constant difficulty, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean. But like. But also, like, when I say balance, too, I'm also talking about, like, for instance, you can make anything succeed.
Oh, yeah. I get the thing from this, too.
You can succeed with any outfit. You can succeed. Mm-hmm. But it's not because of the fact that the game just allows you to. It's that you have to utilize
the
engine.
Yeah.
You have to utilize the engine
and
how well
it's balanced. And you have to have the right spec and stuff. Like, I mean, if you're not putting the right points into whatever, you're not going to have, like, a light armor's not going to do dick. And you're like, okay, whatever. Well, I can move faster, but I'm getting one-shotted everywhere. It's the same kind of thing. It's literally, like, almost exactly the same at that aspect.
Okay,
but.
So that's what was going to lead to the question. Like, does Neo hold that similar feel of balance where everything can work if you take the time, learn it.
It's hard for me to say only because I'm not playing with everything. I have like the weapons I like, and I'm changing armor quite a bit, which is something I don't even fault in the Soulsborne games. But I feel like yes, you could probably go like pure magic, pure ninjutsu, pure any weapon you want. You can do all that. Mostly the reason why I think you can do it because I've been reading a lot of stuff about it and like reading a lot of reviews, and I've had people say that it's easier than the Dark Souls games and that some it's harder. I think this game overall, speaking honestly, and this isn't honestly me just being like, cause I played Dark Souls, like I played Bloodborne, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, and a little bit of, what's it called? The first game, Demon Souls,
yeah.
Which I didn't really play too much of. I don't even think it's because I have experience in those. I think legitimately, especially once you understand how the blacksmithing works, this game is easier than the Soul series. Only because I have soloed every boss so far.
Mm-hmm.
I have looked up stuff. I'm not going to lie. I've looked up to like, oh shit, like tips on how to beat certain bosses. But I've soloed every boss so far except for one. And the only reason I didn't solo the one boss is because I figured out how to kill him, but it just took so long. I was on like my third try. I'm like, fuck this. This is taking too, like, just because the way I was doing it was just, it took forever. I'm like, I'm summoning someone. Let's fucking kill this thing. And we did it. And I couldn't do that in Souls or Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. I co-opt a lot of the bosses in Souls and Bloodborne. So I don't know if that was just because I just had less patience for those games, but I don't think so. I don't know if it's just the way these bosses are. Also, the loading times are super fast. So when you die, you're not waiting. Like, if you remember Bloodborne, it was like a minute and something sometimes when you died before they patched the loading times.
Yeah.
This is like 5 seconds. So when you die, you're like, oh shit, okay, I'm just going to run right back there and try again.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So
that's
like
really
I
really good.
Got in that habit. Just like, let's go. Cause every time we're getting down slower, getting down lower and lower and lower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it. I had another point that I was thinking in my head when I was talking about the whole boss thing. Oh, is the whole co-op thing's kind of fucked up because you can't co-op with somebody unless somebody you're co-oping with has already beaten the level. So that's kind of cool. I can see where they're going with that. Like, we have to have somebody who has experienced that level, but it kind of sucks because you can't experience the game for the first time with somebody else, which I kind of liked about Dark Souls and Bloodborne. Like, it was kind of cool to, like, summon somebody, like one of your friends, and be like, oh shit, okay, we have no idea what we're doing this level. Let's go through this together. Whereas in this, you can't summon anybody on your friends list or anything unless they've already beaten that level, which is kind of weird.
That's something I've never done in a...
Never done that in any of the Souls,
Souls games.
That's how I primarily play them, and I love playing that. Well,
yeah, I've never met up with a friend and being like, hey, let's get into a world together and let's just fucking conquer it. Like, I've never,
I kind of like doing that. It's easier, yes, but it's not that much easier, especially with the bosses, especially the first few times you fight them.
Doesn't it scale the difficulty a little bit?
A little bit. It scales your levels depending on like how different your levels are with each other, and then I think
the Souls game does it too.
Yeah, and it lowers your. I'm talking Souls. I haven't actually played Neo with a friend yet. I've only summoned in randoms. And also it lowered your Estus as well, I think, when you summon people in Souls, right?
I can't remember.
Or at least when you get summoned in, possibly. When you get summoned in, maybe?
Then you can pick them up as you're going through the level or whatever. It's another game that I went from being like total fucking pass, not giving a shit, to being obsessed with it lately. I really like it. I think I might like it more than Souls. I don't know if I like it more than Bloodborne yet. Already, I'd put it in the top three PlayStation 4 exclusives easily, like without a shadow of a doubt.
I didn't even realize it was exclusive.
Excellent. Yeah. Huh,
cool.
Yep. So it's and also Ninja Theory kind of came in like they bombed their last two games. What was it, or three games? It was Ninja Gaiden 3. There is that cartoonish one they did, which I can't remember what it was called. Ninja Gaiden. Do you guys even remember it? See. You guys probably don't remember it because it like did
no
like
fucking
nothing.
Clue.
Yeah, it's kind of like a.
I know what you're
cartoony,
talking about. It was
yeah.
like an old school, but a prettier old school Ninja Gaiden.
It
on
was
the DS.
No. That one was kind of legit. This is like one that came out on last gen. It was a 3D straight up Ninja Gaiden game, but it was kind of like watercolor, like what's it called? Like shell shaded game. It was called Ninja Gaiden Goku Geki. I can't remember what it's called. Oh my god, Neo. I think it was called Ninja Gaiden Neo, actually. I think that might have been what it called. Like NEO, not NIO. But anyway, yeah, that. Then they did one of the, I guess, volleyball games. But so I was like, I had really low expectations, but it's good. It's really, really good. I really like it. And Travis, definitely be your jam. Don't worry about the whole switching stances thing because it's not even. It's important if you want to be more efficient, but you don't need to do it. It's like it's like in Street Fighter. It's like you can FADC into stuff to do more damage, but you don't actually need to know that stuff to be good at the game or to advance. It's cool. It's really cool. And it's got a storyline. It's got cutscenes and stuff.
I'll take your word for it, man.
Word.
I'll take your word for it. And I believe that Ninja Gaiden game was called Yaiba.
That's it. Yaiba. That's the
Ninja
one.
Gaiden.
Yaiba. That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. I looked it up.
Yep.
Too.
So this was not good. It looks pretty rad.
It looks awesome, but apparently it was pretty terrible.
That's none of
it. Was it? I don't even remember if it was last generation. It might have been this generation. I have no idea.
The article was 2013. So
it was last generation. Yeah.
That, like, end of last generation.
Huh. That's it. If you guys have any other questions, I'm sure there's a lot more other shit I wanted to mention, but whatever. We're at an hour and 14 for this.
We can talk about it more. That being said, great segue. Just going to throw it out here, guys. Just going to throw it on out. I'm going to cast out. If you bite, great. If you're not, I'll just reel this bitch back in. But hear me out. We're at an hour 14. I think we got a show, boys.
Well, there's one more thing we have to do before we
cut
out of here. I mean, especially this week, man. We got to do Pick of the Week.
Pick of the week.
There's only one pick of the week.
There's only one pick of the week this week, right? I mean,
Well, read the games off first, then we'll decide.
Oh, I didn't pull them up. We haven't been doing that.
Oh.
But I will. Let's pull them up. Let's pull them up.
Yeah, pull them up quick.
Why not?
Let's see what idiot publishers thought it was a great idea to release their game this week.
Let's see. New games.
It's going to be like 4 unheard of games and then 200 indie titles that are going to swarm the fucking PSN. That's what's coming out next week. And Horizon.
All right. So February 26th to March 5th. Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 arcade game series for PS4. Constructor HD, PS4, PC, and Xbone. Let's see here. Story of Seasons, Trio of Towns for 3DS. Ghost Blade HD for PS4, Xbone, and Wii U. Torment, Tides of Numeria for fucking everything. Just Dance 2017 for, what is that? Oh, the Switch.
Probably Wii.
No, the Switch.
I was going to say something Nintendo. Yeah, there you go.
Switch. NSW, so Nintendo Switch. So Breath of the Wild is next week. 1-2 Switch. So all
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah, not
March 3rd. March 3rd is, let me see, what day?
The Switch launch. That's Friday. Or it's Friday or Sunday.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Right, it's Friday. So the 28th and then Friday is when we're getting all these others. So Zelda Breath of the Wild, Skylanders Imaginators, Super Bomberman R, which I hear has microtransactions. I don't know if that's accurate. Bomberman with microtransactions.
It's full price.
Setsuna, World of Goo, Little Inferno, Human Resource Machine, Shovel Knight, and Fast RMX. So those last like 12 games were all Nintendo Switch.
I
will speak out for if for some reason the Nintendo Switch is your first console and you've not played I Am Setsuna, if you want a game to play after Legend of Zelda, that's a great option.
What is it?
I Am Setsuna is a Square Enix independent Japanese role playing game that basically takes all of its gameplay, especially its combat. It made total sense.
Enix independent? That doesn't make sense.
Square Enix is Tokyo RPG Factory Studio.
Yeah. Yes. This is a independently developed, but like Bastion was independently developed, it was
published.
Produced by WB. It's the same deal with Square Enix. And they struck gold with this one because the combat is fucking Chrono Trigger. It's great. It's fantastic. Even all the techs are almost exactly the same. So
I think I remember hearing about it. And
it's the role-playing game where the whole game is snow.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. Okay.
Really cool story. Great characters. Awesome combat. Amazing music. The entire score is just one guy playing piano, and it's beautiful. Great, great option post Legend of Zelda, and that's high praise after the last couple of episodes and the words I've had for the Nintendo Switch. So if you haven't played Setsuna, that's a great option. If you have a real console, play it on that instead.
All right, so that comes to I think all of our pick of the week. Horizon Zero Dawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is next Without week.
A doubt. I canceled my Zelda pre-order because I got Neo, so I'm totally fine with that. It means if I ever pick up a Switch, I'll get Zelda. If I want to play Zelda, I'll get on my Wii U.
There you go, man.
There you go.
You got it all figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited. Actually, at the
Horizon's
point where
really
I think
good
I might have to get I might have to get 2 copies of this game because my wife wants to play it so bad. Yeah, I've got my collector's edition already pre-ordered.
Do you have 2 PlayStation 4s right now?
Well, no, that's what I was saying. After we get the house, it's possible that I'll end up getting another PS4 because they want to keep the PS4 in the living room so the kids can play Infinity and Lego Dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, those kinds of games.
So basically what you're saying is what Travis and I said is going to come true. That you would buy a Pro around Horizon.
Possibly. Yeah, I haven't decided yet.
He is looking at TVs. He is looking at TVs.
That's a good combo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did say back at that time that the only way I would do it is if I ended up having to get another PS4, which is what's happening. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it depends on how much money we have to do all of this. Luckily, you know, the house is coming in on the low end of our price range. So I should be able to, you know, put together
some extra money,
put together something modest to start with, and then I can build on it. But, we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, super excited.
Get fucking Nioh. If you're not getting any of those games, just get Nioh.
Well,
Nioh's good.
I mean, people are going to get Horizon anyway.
Yeah, actually, I've seen a lot of people say, which is right, they're like, oh, they're going to pass on Horizon because of Zelda. I'm like, no, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it way fucking wrong.
Man, have you guys seen the reviews for Horizon?
Yeah, it's getting like, really good reviews.
It's getting
looks pretty
high
good.
Marks across the board. I saw the Digital Foundry article about it, how the game stays at a nice, crisp 30 frames the whole
30.
Time.
Yep.
Pretty much, it's like
that's what we were asking for.
Yeah.
Oh, the sweet 30 frames.
Well, yeah. I mean, you you get what you get.
I was not expecting 60 frames out of this game, by the way.
But they're apparently
maybe
they're
on the
working
pro
on,
though.
Yeah,
maybe on the
apparently pro. There's a performance patch coming for the pro that's going to downscale like the textures and everything and upscale the frame rate.
That makes sense to run at 1080p or something like that. Or even, I guess, if you're even running at 4K, that'd be fine.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah. Like, Nioh has this, it has those options too. It's got action mode, which is 60. On regular PS4, it's 60 with drops. On pro, it's pretty much constant 60. And then they have like the movie mode, which is basically like higher resolution textures and stuff like that, which, to be honest with you, when I put it to that mode, the first thing I see is, oh, that frame rate is not as good, but the graphics don't look that much worse. In fact, I didn't even notice the difference. So, yeah, it's all about that action mode. I hope they put something like that in there. But don't do what they do with Final Fantasy, by the way. That's another game I tried. They put out that patch on the Pro where the light mode, which was locked at 30 and not 4K, they added in a patch to make it, it's supposed to be 60. It doesn't run at 60. It runs maybe at 40 something, but it jumps around, and because of that, it looks way more. Yeah, it looks way more unstable than the locked at 30. Oh yeah, I'm hoping they repatch that again.
And you know, a lot of what I end up doing with Horizon is going to, and you know, with the new house and getting another PS4 is going to depend on whether or not I can find a TV that can take advantage of it at the right price, you know, because I mean, if I'm going to get a pro,
you will,
then I'm going to get a 4K HDR TV. So if I can find a 4K HDR TV that's at a good price, then I might look.
Dude, I'm telling you, look at that Vizio. I'm not sure if they dropped price yet, but that Vizio, what's it called? P series is,
you
still
know,
one of the highest rated.
It's funny, dude. That's the one I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So right
that's
now,
the one my friend has,
Best
and
Buy
it is fucking
has,
sexy.
Best Buy has the 55-inch P series for $1,000.
Yeah, that's the 55, and that's good because the 50 used to be $1,000.
Yeah, the 50
that's
is
the
now
one that used to be
$900.
Mm-hmm.
And then
for the extra $100, you might as well get 55.
Right, and then after 55, it doubles in price. So 65 is like $1,900.
Yeah,
and then 75 is like $4,000. I'm like,
I guarantee you, like towards the fall or like the summertime, that's going to drop even more because that's when all the newer TV models are going to come out.
Yeah.
So they're going to drop those ones. So
yeah, that's the one
I'm
looking at.
There's a really good Samsung one too. That's really good.
If I can,
way better price there.
At a good price, and you know, if we have the money and it's $1,000, and if we have that money, then I may go ahead and jump on that and grab a pro too. So we'll see how that works out. It's all going to depend on what kind of money we got. So buying
Sounds
a house
good.
Is not cheap.
No, it's one of the biggest purchases someone can ever make.
Yep. It is the biggest purchase. Well,
yeah, pretty
maybe,
much.
Maybe
well,
not. The average
unless
person.
You're unless you're super rich and
yeah,
you can buy like a yacht
rich.
Or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that is it, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that. So, if you guys have any comments or questions on what we talked about today or have any suggestions on what we can talk about next time, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, the Travis Baum, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Facebook, Google Plus, Stitcher, Steam, Twitch, YouTube.
I still don't know what Stitcher is.
It's a podcast. Not like a network, but it's like a podcast hub. essentially.
It's an aggregator. Gotcha. Yeah,
it's like podcasts, radio shows, that kind of thing. Search for Interactive Distractions and you'll find us. And that is it. You guys have anything before we wrap up and get out of here?
I want to play Horizon Day One, but at the same time, I know if I do, I probably won't beat Nioh. So next week is going to be interesting for sure.
I don't know if I'm going to have the ability to play it day one. And the reason I say that is because my wife might take it from me. So we will see. We will see. She has not been this excited for a game, God, ever. I don't think I've ever seen her this excited for a game. And it started with that first E3 trailer that mm-hmm. was that, like, was that like 2 3 years ago? Yeah. That,
I think it was
after
two years ago.
Hooked. Yeah. But, we'll see how that works out. Cool. It's all next week. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. We would appreciate that. But until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next time.